You're listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast, where we talk to the individuals that help move our party forward. I'm your host, Executive Director Chris Spengel. You can hear all of our podcasts at podcast.lpin.org, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Financial support for this podcast comes from the 1994 Society. The 1994 Society is made up of grassroots libertarians like yourself that donate monthly to the Libertarian Party of Indiana. To join, please go to lpin.org/join. We thank you for your continued support. Welcome to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast. I'm Executive Director Chris Spengel, and I'm joined by Executive Director Evan McMahon of Atlas Liberty, which is a federal PAC that helps support candidates. Good afternoon, Evan.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Tell us, what is Atlas Liberty PAC? What is the difference between Atlas Liberty and the Libertarian Party or the Libertarian Party of Indiana?
Well, the first thing is we're national. As a FEC PAC, we work with candidates all across the country. We also don't work with every single candidate on the ballot. We only work with candidates that meet a strict criteria, showing that they want to win, they're dedicated to win, will put that energy and effort in, as well as meeting a few standards of what it means to be a libertarian. So we take all the resources that we can gather nationally and put those into a few select campaigns.
So it's 2011 and you're a federal PAC. Do you support... It's 2011, so it's obviously not a federal election year.
Right.
Are you supporting candidates this year in municipal elections?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, a lot of what we do is going to be done on the grassroots, local level. We have to support candidates on every level, down ticket, up ticket, all across the country. So we'll work with city councilors, county councilors, township boards, trustees, sheriffs, whoever that we can get into office that's going to help us defend liberty on the local level. That also helps whet the appetite for the average voter. So when 2012 comes around, they already have a lot of information about what it means to be a libertarian and also that it's not a wasted vote. It's a lot easier for us to get, you know, 1,000 to 2,500 votes for one candidate on a local level than it is for us to get 20,000 votes on a congressional level. But once we've gotten that first, you know, foot in the door, then we can start talking about Congress and Senate and, you know, maybe president.
So what are some of the ways that you help candidates? What are some of the ways that you help candidates?
Well, the first thing that we do is we make sure that they meet the requirements to be a candidate for the race. A lot of people don't know that, you know, you have to have residency, and some races you have to have certification for, like, auditor or assessor. You know, while we don't necessarily agree with those things, they are the law in some states. So we make sure that first a candidate is eligible to hold that office. They meet the requirements. The second thing is we help them figure out what their message is going to be. Why are they running? You can't just want to be a city councilor. You have to have a reason to run. We help them articulate that into a straightforward message that the average voter will get. Then we help them with their basic campaign planning. How many doors do they need to knock on? How much money do they need to raise? We help them plan out their printed material like yard signs, push cards, all the different, you know, basic mechanics, nuts and bolts of running a campaign. Then we help them create that brand identity. You know, that's one of the things that we kind of fail at is having a recognized brand for each candidate. You know, we could definitely take a lesson in that from the other big parties. They treat their candidates like Coke and Pepsi. We have to start treating our candidates like Mountain Dew.
Tell us about the organization, Atlas Liberty. What's the history of it? Who else is in the organization? Give us the makeup of that PAC.
Well, I started with Atlas Liberty in November of 2010, right after the last general election. And I was approached by Mark Rutherford, who is currently the vice chair of the National Libertarian Party. And he talked to me about this thing that he had called Atlas Liberty PAC and what it was doing, and said, you know, we'd like for you to come on board and help run it and help create a plan to get us through 2012, get us some victories. He founded Atlas Liberty in 2006, basically because he saw a need. There wasn't anybody else out there who was working on a national level to help candidates with that basic nuts and bolts mechanics of campaigning. So the very first things that the organization did was we basically pointed out a couple of really great, talented people, young people, and sent them to some training workshops, some campaigns and election schools, things like that, raised money so that they could go, and really got the next crop of campaign managers and candidates that basic training. You know, and it's been invaluable to a lot of those folks. But so that was the beginning of our organization. We have a board that people that have run for Congress, for governor. We have people that have held office as libertarians. But that's how we started. But we're completely dependent on the local libertarian activist wanting to help get libertarians elected, help get defenders of liberty in office. We're dependent on them for our organization. One of the things that we don't do is we don't charge candidates for our services. When you're endorsed by Atlas Liberty and we come in and help you, we're going to spend about $4,500 on your campaign in 1 year. That's in time and resources, graphic design, legal work, the whole kit and caboodle. But we don't send you as the candidate a bill for $4,500. Instead, we ask other libertarians to help raise that money so that we could provide those services to qualified candidates who actually have a shot at winning and want to win.
Who are some of the candidates that you've helped this year, and what are some of the things that you've done for those specific candidates?
One of our really big campaigns right now is City County Councilor Ed Coleman here in Indianapolis. He's already on the City County Council, and he's running for re-election in his home district. So we've been advising his campaign, helping create some of the graphics for his campaign, creating targeted lists, messaging, helping with figuring out what kind of mailers to put out, that sort of, you know, basic stuff, but stuff that's, you know, not something that you could just pick up off of a little template and figure out how to do.
Or something that most libertarian campaigns could even afford.
Right, right. I mean, it's when you sit down and you think about, how am I going to market myself? How am I going to create a mail piece? Normally that has to either be sent outside to somebody else to do, which is going to cost you thousands of dollars in extra expenses, or you do it yourself and it looks cheap and awful and nobody, it loses the whole purpose of the piece.
Are you saying black on white paper in Comic Sans text isn't a good plan for outreach materials?
You know, if you're going to do that, you might as well go ahead and write your name in crayon. But we help figure out the best ways to utilize those tools and get them at the most economical price and cutting out all of the waste. You know, when you send out a mail piece to 5,000 people, if you get 1,000 of them bounced back from bad addresses, that doesn't help you at all. That's wasted money. It's not like the post office gives you that money back. You know, they say, oh, sorry about your luck. We sent it. It wasn't any good. So we help, you know, make sure that those lists are clean. We help make sure that your piece is targeted, that it's not going out to somebody who has only ever voted for one party in the past 20 years. That's a waste.
So if you're a candidate that's running for office either this year or next year, how can a candidate get endorsed and obtain these services?
Well, the very first thing that you need to do is make sure that you really do really want to win and that you really want to be in that office. That's the very first thing. Before you even apply for an Atlas Liberty endorsement, you need to make sure that this is something you really want to do, that you're not just in it to raise name ID or to promote some agenda or to talk about the issues. You have to really want to govern. And if you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I really think that by being in this office, I can do good for my community, and I really want to do that, then go to atlasliberty.com and look for the candidate app in the upper right-hand corner. Fill it out. It's not very long. It's only about 20 questions, and I'm sure most libertarians will be very familiar with those questions. And then we sit down and go over your application, give you a phone call, and go from there.
Let's talk about you for a minute.
Oh, okay. Yay.
Yeah. You're fairly new to the Libertarian Party. You're a longtime libertarian, but you're a recent convert to the actual party.
Yeah.
Talk about where you came from and why you decided to take this job.
Well, I've been working in politics and business consulting for 15 years, and I'm gonna say the dirty word here. I was a Republican. I'm sorry.
So you weren't born a libertarian?
I was not born a libertarian. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, I was a Republican.
Yeah,
I'll freely admit it. But at a certain point, you just get tired of the Republican Party. You've just had enough.
for the last 6 years of that 15-year run, I basically was looking for libertarian candidates running as Republicans. I looked for candidates that were going to defend the Constitution, that were going to defend my right to choose my own life and my own destiny. I was looking for people who were going to shrink the government and shrink the role of government. And when I couldn't find that, I would argue with people. And I would try to, you know, use my political ways and my silver tongue to try to, you know, coax them over to that side. But really what I was doing without realizing it was saying, you need to be a libertarian. You need to go back to traditional roots and support the principles of liberty. So it wasn't too painful for me philosophically when I crossed over because I was already there. I just, you know, couldn't say it out loud. I didn't want to be one of those crazy libertarians, you know, that everybody talks about. But I was.
What are some of the differences between working in the Republican culture and the libertarian culture? There's good and bad on both sides.
Right,
what are some of the best and worst aspects of that transition?
Well, the very first thing is when working for the Republicans, you are an employee. You are a number on a paycheck. You are a consultant who is contracted. It doesn't matter what role you have in that party or in that campaign. You are basically an employee. You're a staffer. When you come over to the Libertarian Party, it's this amazing community. It recognizes that each and every single one of us is an individual and that we all have our own baggage, we have our own expertise, we have our own way of doing things. But we really try to work together for the common goal, not the common good, but the common goal, which is to celebrate and defend that individuality, that streak of liberty that we, you know, flaunt so colorfully. But what ends up happening is we become more than just coworkers and colleagues. We become family and friends. You know, when somebody has a birthday, we all show up. Working with the GOP, the only time you ever went to a birthday party was when it was also a fundraiser and it was somebody that you were already working with. This is a completely different culture and atmosphere where it's not necessarily about the cutthroat politics, but more about the we're trying to accomplish a reasonable goal that we all share.
Before I worked for the Libertarian Party of Indiana, and I started in October of 2008, in college I was involved in the Republican Party, and then I became a political reporter, and I didn't really know much about the Libertarian Party, and when I got here, that was probably the most surprising thing. That was the best surprise.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds schmaltzy, but it really is a great community of people, people that you want to spend time with.
Right.
And I never felt that way in the Republican Party, and I don't want to pick on Republicans too much, but I think most people kind of feel that, you know, that coldness.
Right.
If that's a word.
That's definitely it.
And that's, I think, the best thing about the Libertarian Party. I think you know, in conversations with you, probably one of the toughest things is the lack of automatic 45% and automatic vote polling. And, you know, there's less resources here, but I would say libertarians find ways to get things done and they're crafty.
Right. And it may not always necessarily be the exact goal that you set, you know, but you're going to come close to it. It may be a completely different idea at the end. You know, you're looking at a fundraiser, for instance, and you're trying to raise $5,000 for yard signs. And what you end up having is instead of raising that $5,000 for yard signs, you have somebody who decides on their own to make yard signs for you. Not necessarily going to a professional printer and getting it done, but hey, I've got, you know, 500 sheets of plywood in my barn. I can, you know, get my kids together and we can paint some really crafty, cool looking signs. We've just saved you $2,000. You know, that's the type of thing that we have in this party is we have the ingenuity to come up with really, really cool ideas and new ways of getting places. Whereas in the Republican Party and even the Democrats, you know, we have our checklist of things that we have to get. We have to get yard signs. We have to get stickers, bumper stickers, hats, T-shirts, push cards, business cards, the whole nine yards. And there's a set price for each and every single one of those. And you know the formula of for every precinct you have, you need X amount of this and that and this and that. And you can't deviate from it. That's your method. And we approach things a little bit differently now. And that's we say, this is what we've got. We've got to make the best that we can with what we've got. And we're going to be creative to find other ways to get that same message across.
And I tell people this all the time. I mean, watch out for the party that's hungry. I recognized in my time as a reporter and my time here watching the other two parties, the other two parties have become spoiled by their money.
Right.
And they aren't as hungry. And there are a lot of passionate people in those two parties. They're very passionate about mm-hmm. that message. But as a whole, you know, there is a fierceness in this party that it's just hunger to make a change.
And it's definitely our time now. I mean, you know, we are the hungry party. When you look at the 80s and then through the 90s, the two parties flip-flopped as to which one was the hungrier party, which one wanted it more, which one really could stand on their convictions and say, for the betterment of this country, we must run and we must win. Well, now they don't do that. Now they're just secure in the fact that, you know, you have straight ticket voting and, you know, you're going to be half the house and I'm going to be half the house.
And if the other guy's in charge, it's really not going to change
different.
That much.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, you're what is it, 6 months in at this point? We're recording this in July of 2011. From your perception, somebody who hasn't been in the party for a long time, who has worked day to day for the party for the last 6 months, what is the most important thing the libertarian movement can do to grow, to capture its ultimate goal of libertarian majorities?
The first thing that strikes me is you have to act like a political party. Now, here in Indiana, the LPIN is doing an amazing job of that. Unfortunately, there are a lot of other places across the country that aren't. And, you know, our own national party could, you know, definitely use to hear that lesson. But we need to act like a political party. We can't be a think tank that's all about educating people on the Federal Reserve and small government and low taxes, fair tax, flat tax. We have to be a political party. We have to decide whether or not we actually want to govern. We can't stand outside throwing stones anymore. If we want to affect real change, we have to get our people into office. We have to get people who think the way that we do and stand for the same principles as us to be the ones who are casting the vote in those chambers. So that's the big thing for me. And with that, you know, that's a whole bag of other things when it comes to acting like a political party. You need to start having, you know, really qualified candidates. You need to have dedicated candidates that are really passionate about their issue and about winning the race. You need to have very dedicated and inspiring volunteers who are going to put their blood, sweat, and tears and as much time as they can into a campaign. And then you need people to come out and help raise money, because it does cost money to run elections. You know, a campaign, I've seen a couple of people who have run grassroots campaign where they didn't spend a whole lot of money, but they did raise money and they did spend it. You know, Andrew Gray, who is now a city councilor in Tacoma, Washington, I believe.
Topeka, Kansas.
That's
close.
Right. Close, almost there. You know, he was running against a Republican incumbent for that seat, and the Republican outraised and outspent him by 11 times. But Andrew won that seat by 61% of the vote. Now, that's a staggering number, and a lot of people will come back to me and they'll say, well, that means we don't have to raise as much money. Well, no. Andrew still raised enough money to get the things that he needed. He figured out what he needed for yard signs and for push cards and a little bit of media and bottled water for the volunteers that were out walking. And he said, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and I'm going to knock on every door twice. To do that, I need a couple of things. And that's what he raised his money for, was to get those materials. But because he was hungry and he was willing to go knock on every door a couple of times, he beat the incumbent who didn't go knock on doors. Even though that incumbent outraised him 11-1 financially, money doesn't buy personal connection. But money does help make it easier to make that personal connection.
You haven't been to a national convention yet?
No.
And there is a perceived split in the party between anarcho-capitalist and mm-hmm. the pragmatist. And,
right.
And ultimately, when you sit down and talk to both sides agree on 99.9% of the philosophy.
Right.
They differ on tactics a lot of times. So I think when people hear a person on the pragmatic side say we need to act like a political party, they hear, we need to stop being libertarians and talk like Republicans or Democrats.
Which is not the case.
Exactly.
Right. But it does mean that we do have to be willing to play the game.
You have to apply political science. Political science is...
It's a science.
It's a science. It's not dirty. It's only the people who play dirty that make it dirty. Evan, if people want to find out more about Atlas Liberty, they want to sign up and get involved in campaigns that are in their area that have been endorsed by Atlas, where can they find out more information?
Well, you can definitely go to our website, atlasliberty.com, and you can sign up there for our newsletter. There's several spots on the website where you could do that. You can also contribute if you'd like. That'd be great. We like financial contributions. You can also visit us on Facebook. Just look for Atlas Liberty. And on Twitter, we're at Atlas Liberty.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast. For more information, please visit us at lpin.org. Our music has been provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. To hear more of his music, please visit briankeithwallen.com or find him on Facebook. Thank you for listening. When you got November.